Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tremendous catch and run for the Tulane Green Wave as they now take 14-7. Limiting the damage. 21 total points. Nice drive, nice game we have set up here. Because Illinois-Mississippi State is not a very nice game. That's 7-3 with the kickoff here just underway in the second half. And Purdue absolutely getting bounced 21-0 at the start of the first quarter there. Now, JP, get in here. We're going with a side total tonight for the NFL game on Monday Night Football, Bills and the Bengals. I'm going Bills. He's going Bills tonight.
No, I think he likes the Bengals. JP likes home dogs. He always has. I'd be very surprised if that wasn't the way he was playing this one out.
Talk to him, JP. Talk to the people.
Kev nailed it. I like home dogs when they're a clearly better team as well by a lot.
Whoa. Now that's why you're the producer, pal. I mean, come on.
What are you mad about? You've been betting the Bengals in this game for like 4 weeks.
I know. But, come on. It's too much both ways. Like, I'm getting now to that point where I don't know what to even do tonight. I've been saying for 3 weeks the Bengals are the better team. Now I'm getting nervous. And I actually don't want the Bengals to win. How stupid does that sound, right?
I really can't wait because, I mean, what you're going to do is you're gonna watch a smooth one quarter of this football game. And then tomorrow,
I don't know.
Whoever wins.
No, I don't know.
Now this is the best team in football. And that's
yeah, nice. I mean, it could be. Like, I think the amount of bets that I might need to place tonight could keep me up for a while. And I like that, too, because there's been some times this year where it's Monday Night Football, 11:45, wife's already sleeping, and I'm, off the bed, like in front of the bedroom TV, like hoping something comes in at the same time, looking back on me. And she wakes up and is like, what are you doing up there? Like that. You know what I mean? Let me enjoy this by myself.
It looks like, we'll see. Maybe I'll do quarterly check-ins to see how you're doing then, hanging in.
I'll tell you, I made it. On New Year's Eve to the ball drop. But the funny thing is me and the wife have, watching it. I didn't see the final field goal. I watched that on Twitter, on the updates, we missed. But how about that timing? Literally down to the second that college football game had a massive field goal and the ball was dropped.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So I went out for the evening. And it's an all-time moment to just get to experience almost the entire bar is watching that football game, but the absolute entire bar is then doing the countdown for the clock as well. So it's 4, 3, he missed! 1, Happy New Year! I mean, it was something out of a movie, man.
Yeah.
It was so phenomenal. People are doing their New Year's kisses. The people that bet Georgia are hugging. The people that bet Ohio State are getting at it. No. I mean, it was a phenomenal setup. One of those moments why two TV setups become more and more common this day and age.
Yeah, they do. And by the way, let me ask another question on this, because I like to talk technology from the past. We got a minute here. When I was in my early 20s, let's just say this was anywhere between 2000 to 2005, picture in picture was enormous. Now TVs don't even offer that. Why is that, though? What happened?
They probably were like, I think they're just going to keep buying two, And they were right.
I wasn't a big picture-in-picture guy anyway, but at least if you wanted to keep an eye on something, you can. But I'm surprised that TVs don't even have that ability anymore, though. There has to be a reason for that.
How much could, what are the odds, though, that your TV has that ability and you don't know?
No, I don't think so.
I never try and find a picture-in-picture on my TV.
That's what I'm saying. But picture-in-picture was a big deal. Like, oh, my God, HD TV is coming. This is going to revolutionize everything, right? Like, the greatest thing. I remember when I got my first HD TV. It was a 65-inch. Now, these were big box TVs. Like, it looked like a dresser that you had. But it was widescreen, the first ones available, and they were expensive as all get out. So I got my first place. Of course, that's the first thing I got. But nothing was in HD yet outside of like a DVD was coming in HD. Like, I remember like a big, like, hey, the Super Bowl this year is going to be in HD. And you watch like, oh, my God, like, how can I ever live without this? And eventually everything became HD at that point. Now, like, 4K is out here. I don't think anybody cares about 4K. It's just about the 1080p. But I don't know why that went away. If anybody out there knows, give us a call. Like, picture in picture. It was the next greatest thing. I need to hear about it.
I don't want to hear anyone call me and explain to me picture in picture.
I need it. Yes.
No. I mean, that's a
what happens. Call. I would have invested millions of dollars in this if I was a young guy, a young tycoon. Like, this is going to be the next greatest thing. Let me get in on this technology and buy the patent, and it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, it totally flopped, I guess. Since we're doing tech talk and things of the nature.
Sure.
Is ESPN more important than ABC? Why is USC Tulane on ESPN and then that Purdue LSU game's on ABC? I know it's the same network.
But I don't know.
USC Tulane's the game you get to as many people as possible.
Now, let me ask you a question about that, too, because I always had an issue with this. We're not in, like, 1970 anymore. So when people say, hey, man, it's going to get a better rating on Fox than it will on ESPN, well, people don't have ESPN? Like, what cable package doesn't have, like, ESPN? Your basic cable has ESPN.
Don't people still have, like, four-channel packages, though, where it's just, like, all news channels?
I don't know. Who's got that package? Yeah, again, somebody call me up if you got just the news package and nothing
TV
else.
Talk is next.
And you, yes, come on up. Come on back. Let's talk. Yeah, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. We're coming back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
21 Purdue 0. I thought I saw a statistic. It was like LSU like 250 yards and Purdue like 28 yards. So is this going to hurt Drew Brees when he tries to eventually be a head coach in college football?
I feel like that's not a thing that Drew Brees is trying to be, though. Is it? Is that really a thing for Drew Brees that he wants to come? I don't think I take Drew Brees very seriously. So
I don't.
I don't think
I have a long history.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, Drew Brees checking in at Purdue as an assistant head coach is, to me, nothing more than, as you said, like, hey, I'm an ambassador for this program because I'm obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer and this is where I played my football. I don't think that he's, like, in the room being like, so listen, here's what Jaden Daniels likes to do downfield.
But the best part about it, though, is, like, because, again, I love to put the hater hat on. Like, you could throw me a layup with J.J. Watt, and I'll just crush J.J. Watt till the cows come home. Great football player. Same thing, though, with Drew Brees. Great football player, but I crush him at every chance I get because I look at some of these guys as, like, me guys. Like, this is important to me. I always said, like, there is no better quarterback in National Football League history. Down 2 touchdowns with no chance to win with 4 minutes to go. Drew Brees, like, if you needed that backdoor cover, he was the best of all time because he cared. Like, I can pick up 55 more yards and a touchdown pass. Let's go. Even if we can't win the game, let's get in the end zone. I need these statistics. Drew Brees also held up with, like, the 2012 strike because he wanted more money than everybody else, which was counterproductive there, which was fantastic stuff. But, again, getting back to Drew Brees here. Going back to Purdue, it said on the – he was shaking hands like, oh, the quarterback coach. Is he just doing this again for himself? Like, what is the point of it, though? Like, I'm trying to understand, like, why he's a coach all of a sudden after, you know, his whole points Brees fiasco, which he got backlash for. Oh, I got to change it up. I can't say. Let me just go and I'll force the hand of points bet so I can get out from under that, and I'll go be a coach for 3 days. What?
But that's what, like, is he a coach for anything more than this bowl game? Like,
I don't know.
Is he supposed to be there next season? I don't.
Like, is he really? He's going to be the quarterback coach of a team that's quarterback has left, but he's only doing it for one game. Like, what are we doing?
I don't even think his label is quarterback coach.
No. ESPN had him on this, like, hey, look, there's Drew Brees shaking hands. Drew Brees, quarterback coach, is what it said.
Yeah, because, I mean, I saw, like, assistant head coach, which is why I took it even less serious, because that's not a thing, right? Like, he's going to be in Jeff Brown, like, again, the whole thing's, or he's not even there anymore, right? Like, obviously, they, I think he left, but I don't know. I find the whole setup there a little bit weird. They're getting, that game's off. I just have the two TV set up. That game's off. Even the other game that's got no movement in it is going to get first ballot over that right now. And of course, all eyes on Caleb Williams, who's out here just lighting up Tulane.
Yeah, yes. Big. The thing that it's interesting too, because you saw that last play in the NFL. Like, ooh, yeah, first and goal at the 3. Nah, 15-yard penalty back at the 31.
Do you prefer the college or the NFL with that?
I prefer the NFL way. I actually do, because most of the time, oh boy, most of the time we are like over betters.
Yeah,
but I just think like it's too smart of a move. Like you shouldn't get
the 9. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Doesn't even try. Exactly. He doesn't even try to. By the way, return it. Like, you know what? I got plenty. I got a good story about that in a second too. I'll tell you about some little college football action from me. But having said that, I do appreciate the NFL rule because A, it does lead to more scoring, which is what we like. You know, running back and running. Ooh, I got that prop. I got this prop. But you shouldn't be beat deep for 50 yards, which would be an easy catch. Tackle a guy and have it be a 15-yard penalty. Like, that shouldn't happen.
I think I agree. I do. We all know.
Go ahead. Explain, because I'm going to ask you a question after.
That the underthrown football comeback.
Yes, I hear you.
Play in
I
the
do.
NFL
I do.
Is
I
a
do.
Bit difficult. There's a lot of times you see pass interference and you go, now hold on. Nothing there was ever going to be anything other than PI. So it is a bit of a tightrope in that way.
I agree with you there, because there's nothing worse in the NFL. But I mean, again, I'm not even equating it to the, like, the person, forget about it, the pass interference of 15 yards, right? Mm-hmm. Like the I always call it, used to call it the Joe Flacco to Torrey Smith play, Baltimore's favorite play. 3rd and 11, we got no shot at this. You go deep, I'll throw a punt, crash into the DB and force the hand of the referee. And it works all the time. It's the same thing like Aaron Rodgers. I always call it like the extended eagle is what the quarterback looks like after they show Aaron. What just happened on that play downfield? Aaron Rodgers has like an 8-foot wingspan. Like, what? What? Like, where's the penalty right here? Which I don't agree with that a lot. But should there be, Kevin, ooh, what a big play by Tulane here. You're not going to hate that interception any longer, K-Dub. 14-14 up here.
You know what's funny? Let me just say this, too.
Go.
You guys notice that Donnie, every time there's now, I guess maybe you don't know exactly where his TV is. He keeps doing that before extra points are kicked. Do you know why he does that? Because it's college football, and they didn't do the world's dumbest thing of all time and move the thing back. Despite the fact that college kids are actually careful at it, is that we know that extra point's going through the uprights.
Yes. The extra point was always, Kevin, a celebration of the touchdown. It was like a formality. Like, maybe back in the day when they used to kick it with a toe, that there was a lot to be desired. But after a while, when guys are like, hey, that's his first extra point missed in 16 years, there's a reason why. You know what I mean? You don't need it, but it's just the celebration that you get out of that point. And by the way, 14-14 Tulane, this game is exactly what you hoped it would be, because I believe LSU is up now 28-0. Over Purdue at this point. By the way, what was it? I was going to have a talk. Oh, yeah. The pass interference. Do you think there should be levels to it? Because if you remember, I don't know if you're tuned on, you remember this. The face mask, Kevin, was 5 yards or 15. Like, did you just get a piece of it by accident, or did you tackle the guy? And it was 15 or 5. Same thing like running into the punter and roughing the punter. You hit him a little bit, it's 5 yards. You blow him over, it's 15 yards. Which, like, okay, I'm wide open for a touchdown. I'm waiting for the football. This guy just lays me out when it would be a 50-yard easy touchdown. Or the ticky-tack one's like, hey, you interfered. We don't know if you would have caught it, but that's 15. Is that a possibility where you could, like, let's see what the refs call?
I understand the premise, but I think then you're still going to, no, come on, that should have been the full, or that should, you know what I mean?
Tackle the guy. Like, I'm talking about, like, he beat you by 3 steps. You dive and just have, like, you just tackled him like he already has the football from behind. Like, whoa, as opposed to a little arm bar and you both fight for it.
Yeah, I think it would still cause more headaches. I think I'd rather keep it just straight through. The funny thing is, I actually had a little debate this weekend. One thing that I think college football gets absolutely bang on that the NFL not adopting is such a whiff is the clock stopping after a first down in the two-minute warning. Mm-hmm. The idea that teams, because, by the way, it's not that the clock is, like, dead as if it's a full timeout. It's just that now, respectfully, the 50-plus-year-old men reffing this game can run and get into place so then we can start the play. There is no reason that refs being out of place or guys laying on top of Justin Jefferson or any of that knuckleheadedness should be necessary in the NFL. The college game is so much cleaner with that stuff. The NFL absolutely should put it in.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It is. This, you know, it's a little bit too helter-skelter at the end of a game where if you know the rules heading into it, like, okay, the clock is going to stop. It helps your offense get to the line. It helps the referees get settled. It's not everybody just sprinting back and forth or somebody hang, like, you know, my favorite one in the NFL is, right, Kevin? 11-yard gain, first down, three fat off the defensive lineman, lay on the running back and act like they're not laying on the running back. Like, enough. Like, you don't do that in college because they know that clock is stopped. You can get up, get back to the line, and that's what happens at that point. So there are a lot of changes that certainly you can be made, and that seemingly is one, but also you're right about that. Yep, a touchdown, yeah, just go ahead there and throw that extra point up here. There's nothing worse in the NFL, which I'm telling you comes down to like the NFL, oh, how exciting was it that the Super Bowl is decided when somebody scored a last-second touchdown, it's going to tie it up to go to overtime, they missed it, and that's exactly what the NFL designed when they came up with it. Less kickers, man. Less kickers, less special teams, better football. Maybe Purdue. It's like they're already on vacation. 8:23 left to go in the second quarter. Down four touchdowns. Maybe Drew Brees will get out there himself and play quarterback. It's hour number two, and we're rolling along. We'll be back right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
28-0 and needing a fake punt as your best offense here. But it looks like I believe they are keeping the football because the arrow is still to Purdue's side. 6 minutes left to go in this point. They're on their own 34. So see if they can muster up some points. But as we said, 14-14 now in Tulane, USC. 10-3 now, Illinois and Mississippi State. As these games come down the stretch, anything changes, we'll make some changes there. But also, I wanted to bring this up. They're showing the highlights, or not sure the highlights, like the pregame stuff. Mm. You know me. I hate everything about what the Rose Bowl actually stands for and what they think they stand for, but it's the most glorious setting in college football, which is the shame of it all. Like, if I could, if you said, you know, take away it's an antiquated stadium, but if there's any level of like championship and it's played there, it just looks beautiful. It seems awesome. I would have loved to go on since we were in Glendale, not too far away, because I know Dave Sharapan went there like on a day off when we left. I would have loved to have seen the Rose Bowl because I think it's one of the coolest places, but just not without the pomp and circumstance as they think they're bigger than the game itself. But an unbelievable stadium and setup here. So when you watch Penn State, Utah, the first thing you look at is like, wow, like that. Is there grass better than anywhere in the world than the Rose Bowl every year? It looks unbelievable.
Yeah, it is funny because I know, especially you take a lot of shots at them.
Yeah.
But it still is like a special atmosphere and all of that. And you do get a bit of excitement going into the game.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little surprising, though. I'm trying to remember it. I'm a little thrown off, but is the Rose Bowl usually at 5 p.m. on a Monday?
It's 5 p.m. every year.
But on a Monday?
But I guess they're figuring it's still a national holiday today as the day that you're – so they, it's almost like an extension of New Year's Day.
Yeah, I guess it's just – if you're the Rose Bowl, and obviously when these things are set, they're set, right? But
yeah,
the fact that the back end of your game might run into Cincinnati-Buffalo is
yes,
not
that's a tough
how
one.
You draw it up.
No, it's not.
At all. Like, that is – and we just – look, the NFL is the NFL. I can tell you this as – you know, like Christmas Day was, I think, the perfect example, right? Mm-hmm. Just awful football games on the you know, second and third games, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But the NBA was offering up like Celtics Bucks, right? Like big games, big teams, big situations. And I remember you were like, yeah, I mean, I wasn't checking into the NBA on Christmas Day. I had the football on, and that's just kind of what it was. Like, now, college football, again, is a big deal, but I'm sorry, the idea that Penn State-Utah is going to hold people's attention before Joe Burrow versus Josh Allen is It's just not the case, I don't think.
Yeah, no, it certainly didn't work out that way. Maybe if you would have got like one of these dead teams on Monday Night Football, wouldn't have mattered. And also keep in mind, the Rose Bowl doesn't matter this year.
Yeah.
Nobody's playing to advance. It's not as if you were going to have Michigan and TCU in this game and be worried as USC scores another touchdown. Yeah. Now, I'm going to add, look, if you, I know you said you shut the Purdue game off, right?
Yes. I could have asked you, but I did shut it off.
There's a targeting call that these had. I'm just waiting to see the ruling here. First, I don't know if they call reverse, which is the right call here. They got it right. And there was a player, it was third down or fourth down, I don't know what it was. He rolls out, needs about 8 yards, stumbles around, turns around, and the guy hits him. Helmet flies off, they throw the flag, call it targeting. They just reviewed it and took it away. The reason I bring it up is, which football game was the targeting, or should
Michigan
I say the...
TCU.
Michigan, no, not Michigan TCU. No, I think it was in the one of the lower... It went to like overtime. Like the quarterback or the running back was stumbling towards the goal line, and the DBs like flew up and met him at the goal line, and he had his back turned, and they made contact with his head, and they called not a roughing the passer, but I guess a targeting call, which is maybe the worst one I've ever seen. Have you you could probably Google it. It was, I want to say, might have been at the game at the Liberty Bowl, the one in Memphis.
Oh, like
who was it? The Memphis game? No, not the Memphis game. Who was in that game? It's slipping my mind.
But did
mind
you
right
see
now.
the Michigan TCU play at the very
no,
end
I didn't.
Of that football
I don't think
game?
I saw it. Oh, wait, hold on. Go ahead. Because I did see it, but explain it to me because I'm not remembering exactly.
So for anybody that maybe got the TV off, obviously it's a very busy day. But on the last play of the game, it's a bad snap, and all of a sudden it kind of turns into madness. And a Michigan kid who's the play's completely dead. Does get hit, not late, but just kind of that leading the helmet, and they reviewed it for targeting. Now, it was one of those things, Donna. I actually grabbed the piece of Michigan before the drive at around 6-1. So I was like, I can't remove like my blue and maize goggles here. But I was like, I think they're going to call this targeting. But I was like, maybe I'm just too excited and amped up on a live bet that I want to see live to see another day. I don't know if you had, eyes on it, but I thought it was definitely worth the review time that they did give it.
Yes, it is. And by the way, I remember because there was a guy on camera, I think like a Michigan fan, that was losing, and rightfully so. But I remember watching this live and saying to myself, they're actually going to call, like, because I don't like bailouts, because I don't think it was like one thing that was like serious per se. But the guy was bumbling. Like, what was the kid supposed to do and made the hit? Now, it probably wouldn't have changed the game, but it would have been 15 yards, put a little bit more time on the clock, and added, like, that extra oomph. Because I didn't have any money on the game, so I probably would have rather seen it. But it was a similar type play, and I'm trying to see. It wasn't – which game was played, like, in the Liberty Bowl in Memphis? That was the game I believe it was in.
Yeah,
it was a high-scoring game. Was it the game that won, like, 50-49 where they're trying to get to – Arkansas, maybe.
Arkansas
was it
game?
Arkansas? Yeah, hold on. I think Kansas. Let me – I'm just going to type in on Twitter.
Yeah, Kansas-Arkansas was
– late hit or something.
Had. I don't remember if that was – if the name of that bowl was the Liberty Bowl, but that was – it was a weekday game. All right,
Yeah, was it Kansas or Arkansas? Maybe it was Arkansas that committed Arkansas.
It was a bad roughing the passer penalty.
But it wasn't even really a – and I can't find that because I might have the game wrong. But it was the equivalent of, Kevin, we need a touchdown on a last-ditch effort. I'm going to juke a few guys at the five, get completely off balance, spin around, and the DBs were in the end zone coming up to make the play, hit them in the helmet, but it wasn't their fault. And they threw the flag, they kept it, and the game went on because either that play or the next play, they scored a touchdown or the two-point conversion, and the game kept moving along. And all I kept saying to myself is, like, that's not the spirit of the rule. The spirit of the rule of roughing or targeting or a late hit is, I'm a wide receiver, I'm laying out for a catch, you line me up from 10 yards away, go horizontal, and put the crown of your helmet into my mouth. That's 15. Yeah. That's what it's for. This one was not in the spirit of it all. The same way that the Michigan one is. The kids spinning. The kids are looking to make a play to finish the game. They didn't do, you can't hit him. How do you even know you're going to hit him at the head at this guy stumbling around?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I think that's the thing. Even what we just talked about, to a lesser degree, I guess, with the, pass interference penalties. But there's a lot of these penalties now in football that get called on defensive players. Where you go, I mean, what were they supposed to do, right? Like Derwin James the other night on that Monday night game, I know that Brandon Staley is like, well, that's their fault. They throw a murder ball, and that's usually the result of something like that. But Derwin went in there looking at clean clocks, right? Again, like the rough and the passer penalties in the NFL. It's like, I'm sorry, Chris Jones, in the middle of sacking a guy, didn't know how to, you know, all of a sudden levitate in the middle of the play, right? It's just those,
yeah.
those are the ones where people start to get real eye-rolly at these referees.
Yes, because targeting is supposed to be exactly what it sounds like. I just targeted your head and lined you up for a shot, not this guy, because I always joke about it too, like the wide receiver, the running back that gets hit. Like, he lowers his head to hit your head, but it's the defender's fault at that point here, right? Because you don't remember when the first came in the NFL? They called it, like, every game, like, three or four times. And we literally all said to ourselves, they're going to ruin the NFL. Like, a running back up the middle can't, like, brace for a hit because he will get charged or 15-yard penalty for lowering his helmet. And it completely went up. Like, where is that in the NFL now, Kevin? Right? You go up the middle. These guys are blasting each other. And for that one preseason, they wanted to try to eradicate it. And I guess they figured, like, hey, I understand. Like, we want to take care of people. But we can't throw five of these a game. Like, there's no more football to be had at that point.
Yeah. No, it's a tricky slope because I appreciate the idea that they want to protect players because the worst things are injuries, right? I mean, look at us right now as a couple of birds.
Yeah, the quarterback stinks. Yeah, the game of football stinks without a good quarterback. And that's what the NFL is trying to say. Hey, look, we're going to overcompensate the quarterbacks here, which it was much worse even a couple years ago, the legislation on it. There are some calls that go by the wayside that you know you shouldn't be correct. But back in the 80s, like I was being an Eagles fan, like Lawrence Taylor would just spear Jaws 15 times a game right in the middle of the back, like on a backside blitz he didn't know was coming. Let me run full speed and put my helmet into your back as hard as I can repeatedly. And that was a great hit back in the day, but not anymore. It's like, come on, man. Like you can't just do that anymore at this point. As USC is now inside the 10 again, up 21-14 with 45 seconds left to go in the half. So I guess this is about, if they cash this in, can't ask for a better start to a football game if you've got a total.
Yeah, definitely not. And
all touchdowns.
It's paired with this USC running back. Not the one that broke the big run, unfortunately, but another over the rush yard. But your game script's there as well now for plenty of run plays.
Yes.
If it's going to get slowed down at all. And Caleb Williams looks great. You know, it's such an interesting game, but there was so much uncertainty around Caleb Williams playing. And then when they announced that he was in and the line kind of stayed stagnant, it's like, man, how low are they on USC or how high are they on Tulane kind of thing? Then, it, you know, we had a brief moment where we're like, oh, my goodness, he's just going to play one drive. Now he's sitting here working on his, you know, potential third touchdown pass of the first half. My goodness.
Yeah, we'll see how the pairs up. By the way, we're going to talk heavy NFL after the break here. Before we get to that break, TCU, Georgia, next Monday night, 8 p.m., 62 is a total, 13.5 across the board as a favorite towards Georgia. Are we seeing it that way here? Is 13.5 egregious, or is 13.5 about right here?
So USC Twins, you said, is that 13.5?
No, TCU, Georgia.
Oh, the look-ahead line.
Yes.
You know, that was 16.5 in terms of the look-ahead line, the double look-ahead line. So they dropped it a field goal.
Well, we'll see. Max Duggan and the boys got their work cut out for them in L.A., but we're going to talk NFL next. Maybe the game of the year. There's a lot of props here to go over. Let's have some fun. Come on back with us. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on a Monday. It's time to talk a little Monday Night Football, but before we do that, let's get to the phone lines here. Have some fun. It's Keith from Kansas calling in on a Monday Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. What's good there, Keith?
The reason I called, my XM app's delayed, but they called that targeting on Arkansas kid, KU, an automatic first down in that overtime. Which is crazy.
Yeah, good call.
I had a shooting part of Moneyline.
Yeah.
So.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a two-game money line with old Arkansas and Alabama, so I was really sweating that one out. And I hope you guys took advantage of that free money yesterday because I had a kind of knew that Alabama was just going to lay the wood down K-State yesterday. I took them first half. I doubled down on the game, money line spread, every which way.
Awesome. Great call. They lit them up.
Yeah, you knew about that. When the big boys were coming back, that meant business there, which started me sending out those tweets, Kevin, that said basically like, oh, no, We left the wrong team out, but at least TCU came to play. But good call on that one. I watched that targeting call and was losing my mind for the kids, too, because, Kevin, it wasn't one of those, like, first half, like, oh, they'll be able to work this out. This was a bang-bang. We just won the game and got it taken away from us here.
Yeah, no shit. Anyway, I like you guys' show, man. You guys keep me. I drive a lot, and you guys keep me entertained. Awesome, so keep up the good work.
You got it, brother. Have a good one. Thanks for the call in, Keith. Enjoy. There you go. Yeah, because I like that. When you ask the questions, we'll call or somebody calls and got you back. I'm telling you, if you go and look for that on Twitter, it was such like it wasn't even like, hey, I'm going to run full speed as if it's like a kickoff. I'm going to lay this guy out. Like, this guy was stumbling, bumbling, and turned his back and got hit. And like, yeah, by the way, that's 15.
But also, so the second thing that he just called about and that you just said in terms of Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the thing with this. Stupid CFP that the year one, people should have realized, oh, we four teams wasn't enough. The first year of the playoff, the number four team was Ohio State, littered in debate about whether or not they deserved to be in, and then they won the whole thing. And people took that to say, oh, they got it right. No, that's not what that means. It means, oh, my goodness, we almost left the best team in college football out.
Yeah.
Which is exactly why what we just saw on Saturday, not just those two games, but I'm glad you... Alabama is just as important. Alabama would have beaten any of those four teams yesterday had they played them. Bryce was of that level. Saban with prep time is an absolute monster. We've known this to be true forever. And they would have won against anybody that they would have happened to play yesterday if they were let in. And people think that that conversation would have changed to, oh, man, good thing they put Bama in. I mean, Tennessee plays Clemson as a big, you know, I mean, they were a bigger dog and it kept working against them. With a backup quarterback, but lit that team up. You're telling me Tennessee TCU in a 3-6 wouldn't have had juice? I don't know what sport you're watching. I don't know what you're talking about. But it's not the one that Donnie and I are breaking down right here, right now, and throughout this season. I'm telling you, just you're totally lost. Those people, no one has to eat crow more than the people that were going, actually, not only do we not need expansion, the BCS had it right. We should be playing Georgia, Michigan this year.
Less because everybody breaks out. And again, the easy comeback is then you just don't like March Madness then. You probably don't watch that. No, I love that. No, you don't. Because then there's a lot of blowouts there, but we still watch because those games matter. But the reason I was bringing it up, because I didn't want to come on here Monday and be like, man, TCU just got rocked. Like, did you see Bama play? Like, wouldn't Bama Michigan been a better game? But the point is going to be moving forward. Like, no, they're all going to be in it. So don't you worry. Like, of course, we're going to argue about the 10th ranked team, the 9th team, the same way we do, but not as much on that angle because there are a lot of good football teams that deserve to be playing. And once they get it right and see that the expansion to 8 teams, they'll make up some lies and, oh, we can't do it. The TV contract's another 6 years. We can't do it. And then somebody will come in the room with clear heads, like a lawyer, and say, look, I'm coming from ABC and ESPN. If you guys go to 16 teams, we'll give you another $1 billion. Get it together. You know what? We can make it happen next year, sir. That's what's going to happen. It always happens that way when you lay that much amount out. But I know where you're going with this, and it's a shame because these topics are so good. I want to leave it at this point. The fact of the matter is we love the expansion. The goal every year should be get the best 8 teams in, and if we're going to give away automatic bids to group of fives, we're doing ourselves a disservice. Like, it's almost like you're saying, like, okay, we'll get the expansion in, but everybody's got to get a bite of the cake. No, they don't at 8 teams. At 32, put them in. Awesome. Yeah. Great stuff. Rank them 32nd and have Alabama smoke them round one, but they got in, and we can deal with that. The fact of the matter is, Kevin, that they're going to let in a group of five because somehow they deserved it? I don't get it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's 12 teams, but still 12 teams is not enough to be doing auto bids because I don't think there's no that's not how college football needs to be. We don't need to do auto bids. It's a ranking system. That's how college football works. Let that carry it through. It's the same thing with the random, you know, auto buys going to, you know, the earlier spots for conference champions is completely unnecessary. Imagine Clemson being ranked 3rd in the country because they won the ACC when Clemson is, again, basically not been a top 10 team in this sport when you actually watch them play all year long, how bad that would be. And here, and you know what's another, you know, again, cause for expansion, Donnie? You know who gets left out due to their current format? And we have to sit here and watch light up Tulane? The Heisman Trophy winner. The Heisman Trophy winner is sat here playing in this meaningless game where we almost said, is he... He's coming back next year, And most people thought he was not going to play in this game today. And again, people are like, expansion's bad. How much fun was watching Bryce Young light up K-State, right? And everyone, when he announced that he was going to play, was like, what? Huh? You've built a sport that encourages your best players to play less often. I mean,
yeah, tremendous.
I cannot even believe that there are still people out there actively deciding to go in and embarrassingly argue the other side.
Every American sport has a deep playoff run, and we love every minute of it. But also in college football, can't do it, and getting two teams is right. You can equate it to the NFL. Man, the NFL would be so great if just two teams made the playoffs in the Super Bowl.
I mean, the World Cup. Imagine that. I mean, get rid of the group stage here. I mean, what's the point of that nonsense, right?
Yes.
I mean, let's just get the best 16 countries in here and narrow this down. Meanwhile, the team that won the whole thing lost to Saudi Arabia in their opening match.
But not even that, Kevin. It's the equivalent of saying, all right, everybody's going to play their CONCACAFs and their European championships. We'll run it through a computer and it'll spit us out 1 and 2, and then they get to play for the World Cup. That's it. Like, nobody else goes. Oh, just those two teams. Oh, that's great. What? This is ridiculous. Like, why would you even have, Qatar as a team in there? Because it's part of the pageantry, you idiots.
Yeah, I mean, it really is that simple. It is that simple. The only one that can use a condensed playoffs is baseball, because honestly, they should go EPL style. I mean, you played 162 games. What's there a playoff about here?
Exactly.
I mean, the best team's the best team.
There.
I mean, please.
And he ended August 31st to pave the way for football season at that point. Talk about football season. We got line movement tonight, Gato.
Oh.
We got line movement. Uh-oh. Buffalo Bills -2.5 now.
Whoa.
Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, is that enough to be like, you got to take the points now, huh?
So on a new, if Buffalo gets to the Super Bowl, they're going to be a better than field goal favorite against any team they play, because it'll be a neutral site.
Yeah,
I mean, that's where we're at here on the Buffalo Bills if they're able to get there. If the Bills don't get there though, Donnie, right? And they have home field advantage. Like, then what's the argument? Then what's the excuse?
Yeah, what do you do?
Fall short.
We got to go out and get Justin Jefferson somehow from Minnesota. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is the next step for Buffalo? Like, there's nowhere to go, is there? Is there anywhere to go for Buffalo? Like, are you firing McDermott? Like, it's not really his fault.
No,
are you getting rid of Josh Allen
because he
can't win at that point? Or you're getting rid of Stephon Diggs, who's too much of a headache and wants the football? Like, what are you actually doing at that point?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where it's like, it's not our year. But
by the way, what did they miss? What did they miss not going out and getting the top flight running back? You see what San Francisco's doing? Literally saved their season, where this guy is an absolute horse. And please, like, I need to go back on Twitter maybe and just start resurfacing some of the tweets. Like, gave up way too much.
Yeah, I mean, they are statistically like the best team in the NFL since he's got there. They've not lost a football game since he's shown up. There are impressive wins on that resume. They are a very, very good team, you know? I still don't – a part of me is going to have a block, though, on Brock Purdy winning road playoff. But maybe he won't have to play a road playoff game. The one that seeds up for grabs.
One's up for grabs. Even the two, like we'd say, the Eagles, they're going to get upset.
Yeah.
And it's out
possible.
There in San Francisco. But there's always going to be that. How Brock Purdy is going to play in the playoffs against upper echelon competition and possibly on the road. He's passing every test here, but again, it's different until you get into that mode. Now, tonight.
Which was Garoppolo, by the way, just last. I know
exactly.
But that was Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Garoppolo passed every test in the regular season, then we get to the playoffs, and he couldn't pass those tests. So
and Purdy the coach knew it, which was even better, too.
Might be the same thing.
Yeah, head coach is like, hey, you know what? Let's keep the ball on the ground. Don't put it in Jimmy Garoppolo's hands. We're led to believe that. Remember the only thing, too, for Jimmy Garoppolo quickly was, look at his record, though. That shows a real quarterback. Yeah, Brock Purdy hasn't lost yet. So what's that say about Jimmy Garoppolo? So enough with that. No more of that. Yeah. Well, Nick Mullins isn't really an NFL player, per se. Maybe Brock Purdy could be. Mm-hmm. 2.5 tonight, 49.5. I still like a lot of this stuff. Let me see where the anytime touchdown market here, Kevin, is going also. Let's see what we got here tonight. All right, anytime. It's not, there it is. Where's my guy at? T. Higgins 180 now. Good, even better. Like, T. Higgins, pick your shot tonight for a touchdown. Mixon, Diggs, Chase, Allen, Singletary. Who? One shot tonight you got for that. Who you taking?
I'm gonna do what you usually do and say I'm going to give you two answers. And I'm also going to steal from a theory that I feel like you used to have in every primetime game. But I like the double quarterback look tonight.
It's great.
Very different prices, but I think that Burrow moves way more than this number suggests. He's 5-1. Josh is the light +140. One of them is in. You're in the money, obviously, with being both plus prices. But Big game players, these two know they're playing head-to-head tonight. That just leads to maybe that extra desire on the five-yard line to scoot and scamper into the end zone instead of maybe waiting for Tyler Boyd to get open.
Yes. Also, how about this one? Bet365, just go over a couple of the match specials. Touchdown passes tonight, Kevin. I think this is very honest. 3.5, minus 120. No injuries to worry about. No worries if a quarterback goes down. You need one more. You can't get it. 4 total touchdowns in this game passing by anybody, which includes a wide receiver reverse or a tight end that comes in motion and throws a flip pass to somebody else here. 3.5, I'm betting that tonight. There's going to be 4 touchdowns. Minus 120.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad at all. It makes a lot of sense because all of a sudden now, instead of, oh, I got both guys over 1.5, it's, well, one guy threw 3, the other threw 1. So yep. you like that setup there. It certainly checks in. I think if you are betting that, though, I think you already are, but I'm just letting for other people know, you should be on the 504 boost. These are two guys, yes, with yardage props that are at right now over 500. And 30 yards combined in terms of what their current over-unders are. So even a world where one disappoints, the other can backpack. That's the exact number I was hoping to see boosted tonight. So definitely something to put an eye on.
Combined passing yards, 563.5 at minus 115.
Wow. Big number.
Yeah, so like 275 or higher a piece here, which again includes everybody. So if somebody got injured or you had a wide receiver pass that went for 40 yards, that all adds on to it here. Keeping an eye on some rushing props in this game. Mixon at 50.5, Joe Burrow at 12.5, Josh Allen at 47.5, James Cook at 25.5, and Devin Singletary at 44.5. We got one more segment to go here. We're going to give out some winners. Got some props in the NBA. Dig a little deeper here into this pro football game tonight. Maybe K-Dub's going Rose Bowl with a bet as well. It's all happening right here on a Monday post-holiday. Doesn't mean you can't have a holiday today. Let's cash some tickets. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's do it. Final segment today on a Monday. A lot of action going on. College football underway. Rose Bowl a little bit later. NFL action tonight. But as always, we got some picks that we got to get out to the people. I'll keep it simple here. Touchdown prop. I'm going to go, as I said, with T. Higgins at a plus 180 price. And also, the odds boost there that we went over, you can get involved in those. But the one touchdown each half, Kevin, at plus 360 for Burrow and Allen makes a lot of sense. I'm also going to go with that totals that I talked about this morning. Each team to get at least one touchdown or more in each half, that was a minus 106. I didn't check the updated numbers. And the NBA tonight, Kevin Durant didn't score or have that much influence over the previous game that he played. I expect him against a bad Spurs team with a total of close to 240 to go off. But I'm going to take his over points, rebounds, and assists at 40.5. He drops 25 or more. He's got that in the bag. Even had a game 2 games ago, Kevin. 16 boards for the Slim Reaper out here. Over 40.5 points, rebounds, and assists in a blowout win for the Nets. That's where I'm going tonight. JP, let him know.
Yep, give me the Bengals on the money line tonight.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead, because I'm about to rip somebody on TV. Go ahead.
I got it. Oh,
my God. Did you see? Are you watching? Like, maybe?
Yeah, I know what's going on.
Help me.
I like the over in the Rose Bowl, Utah, Penn State. We mentioned the 504 boost. There was a number this morning that DRS pointed out is interesting. I think it's a nice piece of value on Diggs over receiving. I need an explain yourself. What are you doing on the NBA board tonight? When was the last time on a Monday, especially with a banner like this, you even took the time to look at the NBA?
Nah, you got
to. That's awesome.
When the, When there's gems out here, too. Don't even let me know about Jonas Valanciunas going over 8.5 rebounds or Zach LaVine over 21.5 points either. Just focus on that Kevin Durant. Just focus on that Kevin Durant action. I told you. I'm involved tonight all over the place, which means I might have to stay a little bit later. And now I might even double my bets because I saw James Franklin in a jersey. I mean, come on. Do we have an extra hour? Let me get after James Franklin for 1 hour. I don't think Pharrell will mind. But that'll do it for the show today on a Monday. We'll be back tomorrow on a Tuesday. A lot of bets in the mix. A lot of fun to be had. It's a new year on the grid. Keep it right here. SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.